You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Morning, Sun Life Church, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, Eli. I have to say, it is a pleasure to be here with you all today. Since I had the opportunity to preach from up here, some of you may not have seen me for a while. Maybe happy about that. But it is a beautiful day, weather notwithstanding, right? No, it's good, it's good. Well, I have the pleasure today of kicking off our series on missions. On point that we have so many visiting missionaries in this season as well. Our wonderful Marianne and JL, our team from Crew, season to say hello. And I'm so glad that we can make them feel welcome. I feel like that's one of our strengths here at Sun Life Church. Welcome. It's not us and them. It's we are together, right? And so it is an absolute delight. For today is going to be Matthew 28, 16 to 20. So before I continue, why don't I read that out for you today? Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee. God told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, before God, yes, we thank you so much that, first of all, you have all authority, done what we could not do. You've bridged the gap. And now, out of joy, out of a response to what you've done, we want to hold back the story of your amazing grace. And so, just as we hear the message today, may it be in one ear out the other, but it will lead to action, that our faith will grow legs and we'll begin to walk out what we believe. Amen. Well, firstly, a bit of context for our passage today. Now, today's passage is commission, which seems like a pretty big task, and I'll dive more into some of the details later. But it's pretty incredible. After Jesus had done all this incredible stuff, he rose again, right? Not only, you know, he did so many, feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000, walking on water, raising the dead. There was so much. Did he pay the ultimate price? But he raised to life again. That's pretty incredible. And then after time with his disciples for quite a long time, meeting with all the needs, comforting them and showing them that there was... So this moment with his disciples, with the 11 at the time, was the last thing he said before going up. Great commission we can also see mentioned in Mark 16, verse 15. And while this commission to these 11 disciples, I believe it still holds true for us today, those who call God Father. The title today for this passage, this sermon, is The Great Commission. So my 3 points. I'll give you a little heads up. I've been training to become an education assistant, so I've got to pull the teacher card sometimes. Our 3 points today, if you're taking notes, or if it's there to work with as well. Our first point is formed. Now, since we're talking about a code word, I feel like there's a lot of Christianese we throw out there. So let me explain it. What is the commission? Well, it's this. It's an instruction or a command or role specifically given to a person. In this case, it was definitely given to a group. Because the thing is, right, I see so many people see it as a personal challenge that they're supposed to take on everything. Okay, it's your job. You have to do that. You have to bring them from not knowing Jesus to a salvation, and then you have to keep on discipling. It's your responsibility to do everything. It's a praise report time where you just get to brag about all the good things you've done in the week. But it's more than that, isn't it? Or go. He said it to a group. He didn't pull Peter aside privately or ask John to stay behind. Okay, this is just your challenge, and then I'm going to give a different one for you, and okay, different one for you. No, he gathered his disciples together and to work for together. See, church, what we are right now is not just this building, right? It's the community. It isn't just a gathering for worship, as wonderful as it is and as worthy as he is to receive worship, right? It is designed to be. And we need to remember that we are a team, not freelancers. And, you know, very happy to be married. But some of the interesting things, I love the way that churches are into ceremonies, right? It's not just that we were married legally, which, you know, is helpful for visas and all that. But and so when we were getting married, the words that Pastor Bin spoke during the ceremony really touched me. Like questions that Pastor Bin asked towards Gabby and myself or to the parents. And we were, I do. And the parents said, yes, we both do. But he also turned to the guests that were there, or 50 to 60, question of them, do you support their commitment to each other? And I find that very key. Marriage is two people coming together, but it is also a commitment carried by the community, knowing that there is support. I love, like, how many times have we had families come together in this church and children being the way that as a church we come together? When there's baby dedications, I love the same question that goes out to the community that are watching. Did this family raise this child? And the number of people, like, I can't tell you how many Tupperwares that Eli had to try and return, or the community came together to bless them for food. They were drowning in leftovers. They could have fed another four families with their leftovers from all the food. Church coming together to bless their family. And I love that. See, community is so much more than just, oh, I say, as wonderful as it is to have a friend. But a friend is proven in trial. And I see that in this way, this church comes together to keep on doing what you're already doing. You are so appreciated as a church. And so with the commission, it's the same thing, right? We are called to live out our faith in a united body, not just as spectators or isolated believers, but a body moving as one, taking time alone, you know? There is merit in your personal relationship with God, but it's not an either or situation. Only be following someone else and doing only what other people tell you, or just doing your own thing and following. But it's about in the community we come together and strengthen each other. It's not one or the other, but both. So not just am I called? Of course you're called. God has given you the Great Commission as well. The question is this, all in the context of the church, of the body of Christ. And you know, personally, I've been benefited. Like, I've always loved being connected to a community from a young age. You know, my parents, they, for years, being the firstborn, I got to be there with my parents through the journey. We ended up even adopting about five or six, I think, right? And so from a young age, community was very key and something I got to benefit from, as much as I got to be blessed too. And then for me, that connection of community kept going. I had the pleasure of being a volunteer. And if you're not familiar with YWAM, it's, you know, maybe in some other organizations, it's like, you know, rock up on Monday and you go home at the end of the day and you have your own life. And that's a five, Monday to Friday, five. YWAM's a little different, see? You eat, sleep, work, like everything is together. You're living, accommodation might be tight. You might have a five or six housemates. You might share a bunk bed well into your 40s. And that's, I know, it was a learning curve for me, getting to have sharing a room with people who are 20 years my junior. So getting used to that. And then not only having the same house as my fellow missionaries, we Monday to Friday, but evening, we had weekends. If someone was fundraising for a trip to Africa, they might need extra help at the cup them. And so YWAM, one of the best things about it is that it is a living community. It's not, but it's somewhere a lifestyle. And so I've really, really been blessed by that. And I reminded, I was with Iron Sharpens Iron, right? And so I know that for myself, yeah, it wasn't always easy, but the And I'm very blessed that as soon as I left YWAM, I got to be part of your community here, this church here. Transition months, but then I really felt like so accepted, and the pleasure of being part of the youth and kids. It wasn't just, you know, getting to know my wonderful Connect group at the first time with Simon, and the wonderful, like, at the time was mostly 20 years younger than everyone else, but lovely community. And again, it's not about being with people your own age. And so I really felt that I was so connected. I was not left to figure out church by myself, but I was homes, to meals on the streets at restaurants and all that. And I do remember fondly my first was with the welcome team. Some wonderful people there. So shout out to them for making me feel at home too. After talking about myself a bit, I want to challenge you. You know, as much as a blessing it is to benefit from, what are you giving back? Because I know for myself, first few months in transition, yes, it absolutely is a time to receive. You know, it's not that we want to immediately put you to work off the street. And before they've even had time to get a free cup of coffee, we're like, what service team would you like to join, right? That's not how we roll. You belong. And part of that is knowing you're loved regardless of where you're at, what team you're serving in. You don't have to be part of this team up here. But there is such a blessing that comes from serving. And so my question then is, are you just living on the fringe? Are you willing to be part of the community? Are you trying to follow Jesus in isolation, embraced the community he's placed you in? Well, you know, I know when it comes to work well with everyone, right? There's always going to be some people that are a little easier to get along with. And maybe for extroverts, that's a little less of a... There's always something to relate over or some community that's like, oh, this is fantastic. I will happily hang out at a friend's place or... I'll go to both services. I'll go to all the Bible studies and all the Connect groups and all. Maybe my question for you is not so much, are you part of a community, but what kind of community are you part of? Right, you're getting energy from being around people, but it's about that quality, not just about quantity. When it comes to connection, see, if you're hanging out with someone, you become like them, friends here. If you're hanging out with the wrong people, I'm telling you, you're going to start to pick up some bad habits. Yes, you lose contact with those communities. Like, be a people of faith in that community that doesn't know God as well. Got to plug into a community where you're being fed as well. So it's not to say that you have to exclusively hang out with Christians. Have a Christian community where you can be drawing a new life from, and you're in the center of that community. Now I have a message for my introverts. Oh, this is a big challenge, isn't it, right? You know, a weekend is coming at 10 o'clock and leaving 11:30. Now, that for some of you, and you know, maybe for some of you, big churches aren't really your thing. Like, you kind of feel lost in the crowd, known too much. Well, I've got good news for you. There's Connect groups, and we have such a wonderful, and the challenge may be that you're not going to get to know everyone. Or you're worried that everyone's going to know too much about you. I know. It's a blessing and a curse in that sense, right? Everyone knows my name and I don't know all of your names. But for the introvert, when you are willing to be known, trust that your community is going to know how to love you best. Be yourself. Trust that those around you are going to know that they aren't going to just rock up at your house at like morning. They're going to know when your bedtime is, when your energies are low, and how to help you. But as you are willing to be properly, if you're putting on that mask and pretending everything's all right when things aren't, they can't love you like you love, right? And so my encouragement for the introverts, maybe it's only a few people that you can feel close and comfortable with, sold to the entire church, right? But find the few that know you well and be that community there. Think of it this way. And I have to say, I love doing this bit of research. I love looking up things, reading videos. And so I think it was a couple of years ago. Wow, some fantastic art. So think of it this way. Now, we love building things. And so like a puzzle piece, you were made for community. Now, the world might to soulmates, right? A lot of people believe in a soulmate. Like, you're a puzzle piece meant for only one specific puzzle. If you can't find that puzzle, well, I guess, you know, you'd just be lonely forever. But this artist proved everyone wrong. This artist called Tim Clark might be like a puzzle piece that maybe it feels like you're only meant for one community. But have a look at this. This guy puzzles with the same piece cut of the shapes, right? And made some incredible artwork. You see, he's got the train, mountains and the house, or the peacock and the maze. And this is only a handful of hundreds of artworks he's created by combining puzzles. So maybe you're feeling like, oh, you know, I've got to find the perfect church. I've got to find where everyone's got that same understanding of like sushi is the best food, and you know, worry, I can't handle that. Oh no, right? Or, you know, maybe you're like, oh, I need a church. I don't know if I'm going to feel comfortable in a church where there's kids running around. Oh, I don't know if I can handle children. You're looking for that perfect church in your mind, that perfect puzzle where you're like, I'm going to fit exactly here. I'm here to tell you, yes, you are like a puzzle piece, but I dare you to find a place where you may not think you're going to, you'll be surprised where God finds you find community in God. And so, my child, if you call Sun Life home, let yourself be formed into the body. And so, join a CG. Maybe that's for you joining a serve team. Maybe for you, that's just being willing to go out for lunch afterwards. Hang out, have a cuppa. Have a friend over to your house if you're feeling bold and courageous in that, and you want to have more people over at your house than you know how to handle, right? Only standing room only, right? But in each and all, there's different steps you can take. If you call Sun Life home, really call it home. It's on a Sunday, but a regular community you can be part of. Don't do mission alone. Is this function? Here's where we get to the meat of, I'd say, what does it look like? I think Joy gave us a great example of what it can look like, where evangelism is about conversation with that connection. It's about meeting needs of people feeling lonely, of sharing a truth. So as I share in this point, I want to give you some ways that you can actually, not just internal part of you, but an external part of you in the way that you talk and walk. I might even give some book recommendations afterward if you come find me. Some very fantastic book stuff. It's not just a missionary. We can all be missional. So if we look at the Great Commission, Jesus said, right, how do we do that? What does it look like? So the text gives us two directions. It says, baptize them of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the second, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. These two points, and break them down even more to explain how we function, what's our role in disciple making. And again, there's no special calling that only a special few can do this. Whether you're in SK, in year retired, and all the way in between, right? There is no hard, fast, like, okay, if you're this specific type of all of you. In essence, Jesus is commissioning us to firstly in nature and character of God. So many people, they don't know who God is, or they believe a lie. Like, oh, God, and they're like, oh, I don't like God. I don't like. It's like, well, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And it's like, after that, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't believe in that God either. And they might be surprised to see what God is actually like. When you take the time and as immediate, like, oh, they don't want to talk about it, I'm going to walk away, find someone else. Sometimes they don't even know the God they don't believe in. Oh, to a God that doesn't even exist. And so that moment of open conversation to share in love. The Trinity in its completeness, it may be confusing, but they need to know the fact all are important. So many people look at God as just the Old Testament one, or they're like, oh, I like Jesus, even exists, I don't know, good guy, right? They don't believe Jesus was God, or there's all these mystery of what to believe in. And so they haven't gone any further to study it. But through a simple conversation, through a simple relationship, you can introduce. And so the second, talking about teaching, right? This is it. To talk the talk and showing how to follow God's commands. See, so much of life is about the long-term relationship. Church have family and friends they've known for years who've never accepted Jesus as their savior. People, they may have had that one conversation or another conversation, right? But sometimes the thing that faith is seeing you walk out your life day by day by day, committed and unwavering. You know, God is great when it seems like it's easy to have faith, right? When God has life full of blessing. But sometimes it's in those Job moments when life is terrible and you still hold on, being some of the most powerful testimonies out there. So not just the words you speak in that short conversation, It is the gospel. And so the Great Commission isn't just about sharing the gospel with someone and then walking away thinking, job, I won't discount that. Do that as well, right? But be committed to a relationship with someone this as well. It's discipleship is commitment. So I want to show you a tool to help us understand a journey towards faith. It's something called the Engel Scale, created in his book, What's Gone Wrong with the Harvest? And so if we pull that up on screen, I'd love to show you guys a bit more. It's a surprising thing. I don't think it's a very common understanding that when you have someone who doesn't non-Christian or you're Christian, right? That's it, right? But there's so many more steps that it, now, all these steps, sometimes someone might jump up five at once, right? It's not like every few months is another step. For some, I've heard of people who were like the eunuch that Philip got to share with, right? They went with not baptized to sharing the gospel all within a day. For some people, it is all of that at once. But for some people, this is years. Be one day, and then they won't make that final choice until they're literally on their deathbed. But knowing that... And so, while many of us, I'm sure, want to see someone accept Jesus, all these other steps are just as vital and take just one more step closer to Jesus. Like Joyce said, right? It's about obedience. See, success and obedience is not about making someone cross that final step and being like, yes, there's another statistic. I've done good. That's not how success is measured in obedience. And so all these steps are just as important as that final step to God through your words and through your life. So remember, discipleship is a commitment. And if you're sharing Jesus with someone you love, don't despair that it doesn't happen overnight. Their salvation is not on your... Let me share a scripture from 1 Corinthians 3:6. This is a letter that is in a very... Paul says here, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. My job is to sow the seed. And you know, there's an effort we can make when it comes to creating good soil around us. We can be for good, but ultimately God is the one who makes that faith grow. So I want to share a bit more about, you know, mostly YWAM is known for their short-term mission trips. A lot of schools that YWAM runs are six-month schools with 3 months and then 12 weeks of traveling overseas somewhere. But I've also had the pleasure of working with people year round with the youth ministry. We did 3 camps a year. So some of the youth I'd see for like a maximum 2 weeks. But during these camps, for me, I would often be leading the small group for the boys. And we'd be having a quiet reflecting on the message. And it was that consistency year after year. 2 weeks of a year, that's not that much investment. The rest of the year, I wouldn't even have any idea what's going on in their life. Something that really encouraged me this last... a few weeks ago in July, I went just for one day to help in the kitchen. I overheard some of the people sharing. They were saying that they're asking their boys who are in their like final years of high school, the first times you had a moment with God where you really felt God was real. It's like, oh yeah, it was one of my first winter camps. And I remember David sharing, and it was like boy after boy, almost men, hey, with being 18, 17, right? And there's so many of them that... their first moments with God and when they were 13 and 14 at these first years of camp was me. Say, I don't feel like I did anything super extraordinary, but I was there. And so seeing the power relationship was something really incredible and such a blessing to be reminded of that. So oftentimes you won't know the fruit of your labor. You will hear and know that even if you never hear, God has still done like... You might be surprised by what you get thanked for in heaven one day when God says, well done. And God will surprise you with all that you've actually been part of. It's incredible. So living life, being your honest, true to God's self can be such a powerful witness. Not hiding your spiritual side, right? Being bold, it's a risk, right? Because if you mess up, people might assume that all Christians are like that. They might assume God is a risk, but it is worth it to let them know where your faith stands. You don't have to be like, oh yeah, what did you do on Sunday? Oh, hang out with to church. Be bold. And you don't have to shove it down their throat and preach and try to convince every person and argue, but live life in love. So my question for you, coming back to it, Sun Life Church, do you have anyone in your life you would love? Maybe it's a family member, child, parent, or sibling. Maybe it's a colleague at work or a childhood friend. Let your light shine. Let them see Christ in you. Be bold in your words and invite them to church one day. It's what the power of community, when they realize that it's not just one friend that they have loving them. Suddenly they have a whole... My final point is this. Fearless. Now, if we look back at the Great Commission, it's a, you know, according to the website Joshua Project, these guys have been tracking how the gospel's going. They're still over groups. In the last 2,000 years or so, there have been about 10,000 people groups who have at least preached to them. But this call to make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. It's look at what God said, or Jesus says, but before and after this command of therefore go. All on earth has been given to me. And secondly, he says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not some small thing. As I said before, Jesus did great miracles before he died. So what was the difference after? Turn with me to Revelation 1:18. I am the living one. I died forever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. When Jesus was resurrected, it wasn't just about being raised from the dead. He'd done that before, right? He had victory and authority over death itself. So yes, big. But look, another favorite verse of mine in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How incredible. And I'll tell you, I've had to battle being afraid. I was not more ambivert than pure introvert, but still. I mean, I've had some embarrassing moments. I think some of you know. Imagine doing that in front of a whole congregation of a Filipino church for an entire song. And I think I did it once in India, once in the Philippines, and it's entire song, mouth trumpet solo. Oh, that is not easy, but God is with me even in that. So my questions, coming back to that, are you holding? What would you do if you truly believed Jesus was with you? Courage doesn't come from our ability. We are strong because he is with us. And so looking back at we are formed together. We are one body. We can do this. This task is, you can be a functioning member. You are called to make a difference. And feel it. Go with Jesus' authority and his presence. So that, you know, the world doesn't need a dating church, one that's passive or burned out. It's not about just being like, okay, someone else will take care of it, myself. The world needs a church that is formed, function, and fearless. My final challenge for you. Firstly, for some of you, the challenge is be part of a community. If I challenge you, come here every Sunday. Be willing to be known. And let your needs be known as well. Be willing to let people know how they can pray for you. Are you willing to live life and let people know, hey, I'm a Christian, and this is what it means in my life? Without fear, knowing that Jesus is truly with you. You know, in the power of prayer. And as I've been saying, right, we've got to let people know what's going on. So these points that I've made today, if there's an issue in your life where you need a community to belong to, you feel like you're purposelessness and you're kind of floating, unsure what should do, or maybe fear has just got you wrapped up and you don't know how you can even like take a step out of bed in the morning. And as I close in prayer and as the worship team continues to play, if you would like you to come up, we'll have some people here who can pray for you. And, you know, I pray that this wouldn't be the only opportunity for you. My encouragement, if you have a friend who brought you here, or you know someone here, or you see someone wearing green shirts and the white shirts, or one of these, you know, youth ones either, let someone know what's going on. I'm here that we would like to pray. But we'd like to pray for you out there to be with you in the midweek. So, God, just thank you so much that you are a God who is with us and for us, who's there in front. You're the God who's there behind. You surround us with your presence. For more of you in our lives, that we would be bold, we would be fearless, and that it truly can only come. So pray that we would know ultimately that we are connected to you as the vine and branches. We don't get that power just from doing life by ourselves, but from looking from a distance. We don't just bear fruit. It's got to be connected to you, God. And so just pray for new life and new hope, and that you'll continue to grow us, not for numbers' sake, but so we can see more and more people come to a knowledge and a saving grace, relationship and family.